The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
Today's sermon is the second half of a powerful sermon preached many years ago at Zion Church by Elder Tim McCool, who is pastor of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Eccola, Alabama. We were looking at the idea of seeking some things, setting some things before our eyes, and putting to death some of the things in our lives that prevent us from seeking God and setting Him first in our daily walk. Join us today for the second half of this sermon from the book of Colossians about our discipleship in this life.
I love a good mystery. Well, here's the greatest mystery of all. You say, and this is one thing that many children of God in the world just can't get. this simple mystery. It says, what is this mystery? He says, to whom God would make known and reveal this mystery among the Gentiles, here's the mystery revealed. Hold on to your seats. Put your seatbelts on. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man. Not only is he up there, not only is your life hid in him, not only is he returning, and when he appears, we'll be like him and with him. He says the mystery is that it says the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you know what that means? That means that from the dawn of time, from the first heart that the Lord pricked with the Spirit of God and the new birth, all the way down to this time here, nobody fully understood what that mystery was. People were being born again in the Old Testament. The Lord was born again. People, no doubt, every day, if he's got a people out of every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation, he was born again people in every nation all the time, and in every people and in every tribe all throughout those years from the time of Adam all the way down to this day here. And the Lord comes and he reveals the information of what he's been doing all these times. Sometimes the Greeks would think, well, this is Zeus revealed in me. That wasn't right, was it? Because Zeus didn't bring that feeling of joy and comfort. Zeus would just as soon strike you dead, you see. But that's the only thing they had to associate with, or what God was. Or maybe somewhere way back in the days before there was ever any Greek gods. You know, there was somebody that, the Egyptians, you know, some child of God would be born again among the Egyptians, and somebody'd say, well, the cat got to you. You know, they worship cats. Come on now. I don't want to be in a religion that worships cats, that's for sure. I just don't like cats. You know, I wouldn't have been a good Egyptian. You know, ones that worship, what about today? There's ones that worship cows, you know? I just can't see a cow fitting in my heart. You know, I mean, a cow doesn't bring me comfort when I think about, you know, the burden that I have in my heart. I don't think cow, you know? And I sure don't think chicken. I don't know anybody who worships a chicken. If they do, they got some serious trouble in worshiping the chicken god. I don't think there is such a thing. Although I had a dream when I was a child, but we'll deal with that later. But anyway, had a lot of dreams about chickens. That's what happens when you grow up on a chicken farm. But think about what those people through all of those years associated with what was going on in their heart. They didn't know.
That's right.
You might have an occasional person like Rahab who had something going on in her heart. And she thought, that God over there that parted the Red Sea, it's got to be the real God. It's got to be what I feel. She felt it, you see.
Right.
And I had somebody tell me one time, well, that's, you know, there were just so few children of God. You know, it was mainly just the children of God in the Old Testament were just mainly the nation of Israel. Do you know how few Israelites there were?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, but if it was just a few people, it was just the Israelites, and we can't say it was all the Israelites, can we?
No,
but if it was just the children of God among the Israelites, it's going to be a low number in heaven. As a matter of fact, God said, my people are as the stars to Abraham, stars of the sky and the sands of the sea.
Yeah, right.
You know, if it's just limited to Rahab and Ruth and a few people, Obed-Edom and some others that you read about in the Old Testament, it's going to be just a few people in heaven. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, there is a mixed multitude in heaven. Amen. And there were people from the time of Adam all the way down to the time of Christ before Jesus went to the cross who were being pricked in the heart by the Spirit of God and born again, and they didn't have a clue what was going on.
Right.
Now, if you can see that, if you can see that there were people like that, and then Paul comes along, who's a Jew, one of the greatest Jews of all time, and he says, I've been called to make this mystery known, that salvation is not just to the Jew, but it's to all of God's children in the world.
Amen.
God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's everybody else other than the Jews. That would be us, by the way. So the person who thought Zeus had touched their heart, the person that thought a cat had touched their heart, the person who thought some other false god had touched their heart, or a cow or a chicken, or, you know, Lord help them, some of them even worship mice and stuff. I know Sister Tracy wouldn't have been among that religion. That would have terrorized her. That would have been the devil to her. But you understand, they said, oh, it wasn't a mouse, it wasn't a cat, it wasn't a chicken, it wasn't a cow, it wasn't Zeus, it wasn't Ashtoreth, it wasn't Molech, it was Jesus Christ right there in me.
Amen.
That's a great mystery revealed.
Yes.
So not only do you seek those things that are above, not only do you set your affection on those things that are above where your life is hid in Christ, Christ is hid in you, right there in your heart. The mystery revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now watch this. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. I've said this so many times, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm sure many more times. I'm not interested in saving the souls of the people that I preach to, because I don't have to worry about that.
That's right.
But I am interested in saving their minds.
Amen.
Saving their minds. And that's what Paul says right here. He says, I'm preaching, warning every man, warning the people that I preach to, teaching them in all wisdom that we may present them mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Right.
I tell you, I really believe that only a preacher can understand what he's truly saying right there. Because there's times when you're on the mountain and times when things are going great. And then there's times when you're in the dumps and you're in the pits.
Yeah.
You know, I know everybody can feel that way. But try pastoring a church feeling that way sometimes. Right, you preachers? Amen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you sometimes things are just going great and everybody's doing great, and then things are just going south and it just keeps going south.
Yeah.
And you say, Lord, I just want to feel that working within me mightily.
Yeah.
So you get up and you preach and you can feel that Spirit of God, and it's a relief to that man of God. Discharging that Word of God to those that he loves and cares about. He says, I labor, striving according to his working. Not punching somebody in the nose with it, but treating one as a nurse would cherish her children, as the Apostle Paul said. He says, I've treated you as a nurse, gentle among you.
Yeah.
You don't want an old, you don't want a mean old daddy pastor. That's not what you want. You want a mama pastor. That's what you want. Isn't that right? Because you go crying to mama when you're hurt. You go, I'm not saying you need a woman preacher now. I'm not saying that at all. Don't go away here saying that. But Paul said that he says, I'm like a nurse, a mother among you.
That's right.
See? As a nurse cherisheth her children, nurtures her children. You know, you don't want to just get a spanking every time you cuss. That's usually what happens when they come to daddy, you know, just kabam, get a spanking. You know, if I bang up my knee, I wanted mama, you know. Comfort me. That's what you want a preacher to do. Paul said, I was as a nurse among you, as a nurse cherisheth. He also compares himself to a father too, so we don't need to leave fathers out of it. But you want to have compassion. The Spirit working in me mightily, he says. I wasn't knocking you in the nose. I wasn't punching you out. He said, I was being gentle among you. And you see, he says, I want to present you mature. This is the only way it can happen. This is it. It's in rocket science.
Right.
Seek those things which are above, what you're looking at. Set your affections on things above. Where are your emotions centered? And he says, mortify or put to death your members which are upon the earth.
Yeah.
Seek, set, and put to death.
Yeah.
Now I submit to you that last one is the hardest one to do.
Amen. Right.
He saved the hardest for the last, so you wouldn't faint when you read the first time.
Right,
you know,
right.
If he said put it to death and then seek and set, we'd have gone, oh no. But when you get those eyes on Jesus and you see where he is and what he's done, and when you realize your life is hidden in him, and he's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and your emotions are tied up in that, it's not so hard to put to death the things that afflict us. But these things specifically will prevent us from seeking him in this way and from having our emotions centered upon him. Very quickly, he says, put to death fornication. Kill it. Uncleanness. Kill it. Inordinate affection. That is no question. That's sodomy. Something that's inordinate. Any type of inordinate affection is something. It could be an inordinate affection could be what an unmarried man would have towards a married woman, or an unmarried man would have towards an unmarried woman. But it can be what a man could have towards another man, or a woman towards another woman, or a man towards a boy, or a man towards a girl, or a woman towards a girl. Or you see, it covers everything.
Right.
Inordinate affection, something that is not in order. You see. You say, well, who are we to say what's in order and what's not? That's the society we're living in. We're not the ones that say what's in order or not. God is the one that says that.
Amen.
And if you're not going to take what God says, well, then, I mean, you know, you're not going to take anything.
Right.
He says the order is to go in a way that pleases God.
Amen.
It's inordinate affection that must be put to death.
Right.
Now, we've all had an inordinate affection, not necessarily a man towards a man, a woman towards a woman, but we've all felt things that were not in order, haven't we?
Right.
You know, Jesus said, if a man looks upon another woman to lust, he's committed adultery in his heart.
Yep.
You know, every man, every woman, and even the young folks or the unmarried,
yeah,
you know, have inordinate affections. He says, well, I just can't help that. That's just the way I am. No, he says, put it to death. How do you put it to death? You seek those things that are above. You set your affection on the things that are in Christ. And you realize He's in you, giving you the power within you to continue to hammer on that and put it to death. Over and over. You might have to put it to death 100 times or 1,000 times a day. Some people say, well, there's no recovery from certain types of sin. That is not true.
Amen.
It's not true. The Word of God says that you can put it to death.
Amen.
That you can overcome it with the strength of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I think I used this example here recently. Not here, but I know people specifically who are able to overcome. I don't know their spiritual state, but I know that they profess to be able to overcome their alcoholism just by sheer willpower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, natural willpower. And I know if somebody can overcome that and just grit their teeth and refuse to do it by natural willpower, don't tell me that a child of God who has the power of Christ and the resurrection can't overcome that.
Amen.
You see? That's a greater power than sheer human willpower.
Right.
I mean, it pales in comparison, you see?
Amen.
So you see, we don't have to just moan along with these things for the rest of our life.
Right.
We have the power of Christ upon us. He's hid within us to enable us to put these things to death. Uncleanness, kill it. Inordinate affection, kill it. Evil concupiscence, which is evil desire. Desiring for something excessively. Oh, man. You know, you ever heard of an obsessive compulsive disorder?
Yeah.
My name is by that in the definition in the dictionary. OCD. Now, your name's probably there too, so don't go away thinking, you know, well, it was Brother Tim's there. Your name is probably there too. It can be for more than just physical things. It can be more than the relationship things. It can just be OCD over anything.
Yeah.
I get something in my head and I run it in the ground or I break it off. I'll be the guy, I've got to break it off or just get away from it. That's OCD right there. We're all obsessive compulsive. And I think we'd be surprised. We've all got a lot of these disorders that say, well, so-and-so's got this. We've all got it in us. We got the old man in us.
That's right.
That's a disorder in and of itself.
That's right.
We're all obsessive over things. Evil obsessiveness is what that is. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are physical things that will prevent us from seeking the things above and setting our affection on things above.
Yeah.
For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye all... You say, well, these people never had that problem. Oh, I beg to differ. Ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. See? There were people that he's writing to that lived in these things and repented of these things and went on and served God beyond these things. In the which ye also sometimes when ye lived, walked in them, when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. And you say, well, those first ones were tough. Well, these are a little bit tougher because they're on in your mind and in what you say. Put these off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. To think about it. Well, I think I'm just going to get angry and try to get closer to God. That doesn't work, does it? Let's just get angry and throw a fit.
No.
You know, and then I'll just expect God to bless me in my anger, you know.
No.
Or I'm just going to get wrathful or bear malice. If I can think of all the people that have hurt me and offended me, I'm just going to bear ill will towards them. And no, I can't wait for the blessings of God to come upon me, you know. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No way.
Or I'm just going to go around blaspheming God. Oh, God this, God that, saying horrible things about God, blaspheming the doctrine of God. God's going to bless me, right? Wrong.
No.
Or I'll go around cursing, or I'll go around filthy communication. I'll tell dirty jokes to get close to God. Oh, yeah, I got it now.
No way.
Is that going to work?
No.
No filthy communication out of your mouth. Well, I'll tell you what then. It worked for Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, when the devil came along. So I'll just lie to get closer to God. Doesn't work that way, child of God.
No, it doesn't.
That's part of the old man. You understand that you cannot fornicate and get close to God.
Right.
You cannot be unclean in the sense of what he's talking about right there. Your mind, a dirty mind. You can't be unclean and get close to God, seek God. You cannot have affection that is out of order.
Yeah.
and get close to God. You cannot have evil concupiscence or evil desire for things and get close to God. You can't OCD all the time. We're going to OCD some. Now, there's no doubt about it. I did not say OD, okay? I said OCD, okay? You cannot be OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, all the time and think you can get close to God. You got to get that under control. So I don't know how to do that, Brother Tim. What am I preaching about here? Seek the things above. Your life is hid in Christ. Your emotions centered around Him. You can get over it.
Amen.
You can put it to death, or otherwise He wouldn't have said you could.
Right.
And covetousness, man, I didn't even hardly touch on that one, did I? You can't be covetous. You can't idolize something other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And expect to grow closer to Jesus Christ.
Right.
You can't be angry and grow close to Jesus Christ. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools, he says.
Yeah.
And we've all been fools, haven't we?
Right.
We've all gotten angry. Think about your relationships with one another, whether it's wife, spouse, children, you know, loved ones, whatever. You're never going to breach the gaps that exist in our lives by getting angry,
right.
See? Or being malicious. That will never solve the problem.
Right.
You cannot draw closer to God in anger, or wrath, or ill will, or blasphemy. Try to draw close to God with blasphemy. You just can't do it. Let filthy communication come out of your mouth and see if you'll draw closer to God. You can't do it. You can't lie and draw closer to God. The Apostle Paul said, these five things in verse 5, will not draw you closer to God. These five things that come out of our mouth in verse 7 and 8 and 9 will not draw us closer to God. Now watch this. These things will draw us closer in seeking God. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Where does knowledge enter your body? You got two ears right here where sounds go in and they form thoughts in your mind from what you hear. It's an amazing process, isn't it? That's why I say I'm not trying to save anybody's soul. I'm trying to save their mind. That's all I'm talking to now. Now, if what I say to you goes into your mind and you feel it in your heart, it's not because I have any power. It's because we have treasure in earthen vessels in the preaching of the gospel, you see? It's the power of God, that the excellency and the power may be of God, you see? So if it means anything to you, it's because of God. It's not because of me or any kind of eloquence or ability that I have. He says, I'm trying to go after you for knowledge, to renew you in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. He says, put on, therefore. He said, Brother Tim, it's verse 12. I want to seek. I want to set my affection. I want to put to death. Well, here's what you put in place of those things that you put to death. Put on bowels of mercy. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Oh my goodness, here's the tough one. Forbearing one another. Just putting up with one another. That's a tall order in and of itself. Just ask my wife, and she has to put up with me when I'm OCD-ing, you know. Forbearing one another. Being long-suffering with one another. And forgiving one another. Not only forbearing, not only putting up with it, but forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, we are prone to get into quarrels, are we not? That's our human nature, is to quarrel. We're some quarrelsome people, aren't we? You know, just go to Washington, D.C. and you'll see quarrels like you've never seen. Or Montgomery, Alabama.
Right.
Go to the commission meeting. Go to the council meetings. Quarrels, quarrels everywhere. God forbid we'd have quarrels in the church of God.
Mm.
You see?
Amen.
Well, how can we avoid that, Brother Tim? Be long-suffering with one another. And forgive one another. It doesn't mean compromise your doctrine.
No.
It means to love one another in spite of our faults.
Right.
If any man have a quarrel against any, you say, well, I just don't think I can get over the top. Let me put it over the top for you. As Christ forgave you, so
Amen.
Also do ye.
Amen.
You didn't deserve to be forgiven by
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And maybe that other person over there doesn't deserve to be forgiven by you, but forgive them anyway.
Amen.
Because Christ forgave you.
That's right.
If we can keep our eyes on the fact that Jesus Christ had no tie or reason other than the covenant that He made with His Father and the Spirit to forgive us, we should have no problem whatsoever in forgiving the ones that we interact with. He said, well, I can forgive the ones I love, Brother Tim, but it's hard to forgive my enemies. That's what Jesus did for you.
That's right.
You were his enemy. You were his enemy. You know how he forgave you? He put on charity. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond of perfectness. You want to be mature? Paul said, whereunto I labor, striving according to his working. He says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Mature. You want to be mature? Then put on charity. Just put it on like you put on a coat or a shirt. Walk around with charity oozing out of your life, out of your mouth, out of your emotions, out of your attitude. Isn't that a glorious thought? If we would continue with one another in charity and forgiving and forbearing one another, not compromising our doctrine or our truth or our practice, but just compromising ourselves.
Yes.
Putting the other's needs in front of what we think we should have or the way we think things ought to be. And when you're OCD like me, that's a hard, tall order to do sometimes, because I've got this vision of how things ought to be. You know, at all times. And, you know, I hate that. Doesn't usually work out that way, hardly any time, you know. And that conflicts with what's going on in my heart. So I have to cover this with love, you see, to seek those things which are above, to set our affection, our emotions on our Savior, where our life is hid in Christ and He is hid within us, the mystery revealed, and to put to death those things. Putting to death those things and putting on the spiritual things is how we seek Him and how we set our affections on Him. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com. Or you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.